A great privilege to invest in these guys and invest in the future leadership of the church. So tonight I'm going to be preaching from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And as I preach, I'll especially be addressing you all, the men on the front row, but this sermon is also a call to all of us to fulfill our ministry, but especially a call to you all to fulfill your ministry. So for the rest of us here tonight, for the members of Christ Church, this sermon will be useful for understanding the ministry of a pastor, and even more broadly, the importance of God's word as the center of pastoral ministry in general. So let's turn now to God's word as we consider the call to Timothy to fulfill his ministry, and by extension, a call to our current and our outgoing interns to fulfill the ministry God may give them in the future. So if you please open to 2 Timothy chapter 4 as we read in verses 1 through 5. If you don't have a Bible, please feel free to use one of the black pew Bibles in front of you. You can find it on page 996 of those Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth, and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your perfect and holy word. We thank you as well for these men who have the desire to shepherd your flock, serve your church. We pray that this time would be fruitful and edifying according to the power of your Spirit. May your word be clearly proclaimed and understood, and may these men apply what is in this text to their pastoral ministries, if you've called them to that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jake, Derek, Noah, Stefan, Dominic, if the Lord calls you to pastoral ministry in his church, then this is your charge. Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. This is what we see in these verses, and it's the central point of the text that we're going to briefly consider. In order to understand this charge to fulfill your ministry, we're going to need to look at three things. First, we're going to consider the Lord of your ministry. Second, the content of your ministry. And thirdly, the challenge of your ministry. So these are going to be the three points we're considering tonight. The Lord of your ministry, the content, and the challenge of your ministry. So first, look again with me at verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now, we know that Paul is about to charge them to preach the word. Charge Timothy to preach the word. But in order to give this charge, he deems it necessary to speak about the God and the Christ in whose presence Timothy's ministry is being carried out. Paul charges Timothy in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus. The solemnity of this verse is massive, and Paul places the Lord Jesus Christ right alongside God the Father, showing Christ's deity. We also know that the presence of the Father and the Son is only made manifest by the Holy Spirit. So here we see Paul is charging Timothy to fulfill his ministry before the face of the triune God. God alone is the Lord of Timothy's ministry. It is God's presence and not the presence of Timothy's flock, which is to be foremost in his ministerial consciousness. When he makes decisions about preaching and his ministry, those decisions ought to be determined in light of the fear of God, not the fear of man. And so, if you are to give glory to God in your ministry, you must focus on the presence of God which is with you. We see this as Paul focuses in especially on Jesus Christ as the chief shepherd who will judge the living and the dead, who will appear in great glory to establish his kingdom. The glory and majesty of Jesus Christ in his coming kingdom ought to always be on your mind. The one preaching God's word must always take into account that a judgment is coming. And that their work will be judged in the light of the majesty of the Son. If Timothy or any other minister alters the word of God by adding to it or taking away from it because of the presence of other people, the presence of people who might disagree with God's word or might seek to bring shame to the preacher of God's word, if the preacher gives in to this pressure to alter the word of God, this will be accounted for by Jesus Christ himself. Brothers, don't forget the teaching in James 3:1. James writes, "Not many of you should be teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. This is not hyperbole. We don't have an excuse to push this aside simply because the final judgment is not taught that often in our evangelical circles. No, we must remember that to whom much is given, much is required. If you are seeking to be a proclaimer and teacher of God's word, then you are assuming one of the greatest responsibilities on the planet. It is a terrifying thing to misrepresent God. So fear the Lord. And as Paul says earlier in this letter, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Be a good and faithful servant of Christ. Be a good and wise manager in his household so that you may receive his glorious reward and commendation when he returns. Remember Jesus' teaching in Mark 8:38. That whoever is ashamed of Jesus and his words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and with the holy angels. And so if the Lord calls you to ministry, and when the Lord calls you to preach, I urge you to make sure that the presence of the Almighty God, the presence, the power, and the kingdom of God is more real to you than the people sitting in front of you. You can do this by prayer. Commune with God. Walk with God. Calibrate your awareness of his presence, and you'll be freed from the fear of man. Love your flock, but do not flatter them. You are not the servant of man, but the servant of God. Never take what your people believe or want you to say as what you ought to say. You preach for God. You preach to serve Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. You do not preach to honor, to glorify man. You preach to glorify Christ. And if you preach in this way for Christ, then this will be the best thing you can do for your people. So love your flock by giving them the unvarnished word of truth, and do this by submitting to the Lord of your ministry, the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. But let's consider the content of your ministry in verse 2. Read verse 2 with me again. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Brothers, if the Lord calls you to pastoral ministry, then he's not called you to be a professor. He's not called you to be a political pundit. He's not called you to be a comedian. He's not called you to be a philosopher. He's not called you to be a motivational speaker. He's called you to be his servant, his steward. He does not call men to ministry so that they might enlighten the world with their learning and with their wisdom. You have absolutely nothing to offer anyone apart from the word of God. It is the word that you are to preach. And you must be ready in season and out of season. There will be times when you feel very strong, very prepared and ready to preach the word. And when this happens, thank God for it. There will also be times when you feel out of season, when everything in your week seems like it is going wrong, when you have no strength, when you don't think you were required in this moment or with this level of weakness to preach God's word. But you must. You must. When this time comes, remember this verse. Remember that the Lord has called you to this. The Lord has called you to be ready for times like this. Consider this quote from John Calvin on this passage. Calvin says, "Let us now consider how many arts Satan employs to stop our course, and how slow to follow, and how soon wearied are those who are called. Consequently, the gospel will not long maintain its place if pastors do not urge it with earnestness. Moreover, this earnestness must relate to the pastor that he may not devote himself to the office of teaching merely at his own times and according to his own convenience, but that shrinking neither from toils nor from annoyances, he may exercise his faculties to the utmost." Brothers, this is a high calling. And the Lord graciously inspired Paul to speak of these seasons so that we might be ready for them. Ministry will not be easy. Your routines for preaching will not always fit in with what life throws at you in your week. So you have to be ready. Be ready by watching and praying that the Lord might give you strength when you are exceedingly weary and tired. Be ready by studying the Word of God daily for the rest of your life and by refining your knowledge of God's Word so that your preaching might be filled with the wisdom of God's Spirit, wisdom that cannot be attained apart from hard work, study, and meditation. You will never arrive at the comprehensive knowledge of Scripture. So keep driving. Keep studying. Keep learning for the rest of your life, that you might be ready to preach and counsel and teach and shepherd the flock of God through the Word of God. And as you fulfill your ministry, as you fill your ministry with the Scriptures, be ready to feed the flock of God with wisdom through reproving, rebuking, exhorting, and teaching with complete patience. Pastoral ministry is not simply about delivering God's word. It's about feeding God's people God's word. When you feed someone, you take into account what they need and how they're able to receive the food you're serving. Don't simply be content to say, "I told them what God said." Don't become like the Pharisees who put loads on the backs of God's people without lifting a finger to help them bear those loads. Instead, know your congregation, know your flock, know your people, and ponder ways, reflect on ways to help people really understand God's word. Don't be afraid to reprove and rebuke, but also don't be hesitant to exhort and encourage either. Seek wisdom so that you may speak the truth at all times in love, with all wisdom and discernment. Seek the good of God's people and preach in such a way that is faithful to the text and aimed at the welfare of those to whom you preach. And lastly, brothers, let's consider the challenge of your ministry. Look with me at verses 3 through 5. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." Brothers, in these verses, Paul is telling Timothy that his ministry will be carried out in the last days, in a time of tribulation. That is the time that we live. This is a prophecy. He's giving that describes difficult times that are to come. The time which Paul predicted is here, and it will continue on until the end of the age. And the primary challenge he's presenting here is the challenge of rejection. The challenge of rejection. Think of it this way. Paul is saying that even if you labor to faithfully proclaim God's word in love and wisdom, and even if you give the soundest and most edifying sermons, teaching, and counsel, this will not ensure that people listen to you. This will not ensure that your ministry grows. This will not automatically make you popular. This will not automatically mean people listen. Your faithfulness as a pastor is not the primary cause of how or why people respond to you the way they do. So don't change what you preach or do in ministry on the basis of how people respond to your ministry. And you may think, I would never do that, but there will be pressures to do that. Brothers, you will not be perfect, and you will make mistakes. Some people might reject your teaching because it's actually wrong teaching or inaccurate. However, even if you are correct and faithful in your ministry, many people in our time will reject you because your preaching is correct, precisely because you're being faithful. The age in which we live is marked by opposition to the truth. There is a hostility to the truth in this time. People run away from the light. They don't run to the light. They run away from sound teaching because, as Paul says here, they have itching ears, right? When something itches, you have an urge to scratch it. These urges are passions, and the passions are passions of sin, passions of modernity, selfishness, pride, narcissism, quarrelsomeness, impurity. People will not change their hearts to align with God's word. They will instead find preachers and teachers to change God's word to align with their hearts. And so, brothers, beware this. Prepare to endure hardship of a world in which your faithfulness will often bring scorn, shame, rejection, and suffering. Nevertheless, as Paul said, be sober-minded. Keep your mind on Christ and his second coming. Endure suffering for the truth. Take it on. Don't harbor an impulse to carry out your ministry only in a way that minimizes your suffering at the hands of others. Rather, endure the suffering that comes from godliness and faithfulness to God's word. Be ready to suffer. And in our times, you may need to be ready to die. But be ready and prepare beforehand for the cross that God ordains for you, the cross that he ordained for your good and for your glory and for the good of his people. Move forward in faithfulness and love. And as you do this, proclaim the gospel that saves. Do the work of an evangelist. Call your enemies to repentance. Proclaim the gospel that saved and seek for those who reject your message to be transformed by the saving power of that message. And as you do all these things, fulfill your ministry. Don't seek to simply begin well. Many of you are beginning well. But have the end in view from the beginning. Plan to endure. Fight the good fight of faith. Finish the race. Keep the faith. Bring to completion the stewardship that God has given you on this earth. And when you have finished the fight and you have honored the Lord of your ministry, when you have been faithful in the content of your ministry, when by the grace of God you have risen to the challenge of your ministry, then the Lord, the righteous judge, will award you on that last day the unfading crown of righteousness, the unfading crown of glory. Look forward to that day. You need to look forward to that day. The Lord will reward you. He will commend you, and you will exult as you arrive in the kingdom filled with joy for the everlasting legacy of the faithfulness in your ministry that God worked in you through grace, by grace alone. So, each of you, Stefan, Jake, Derek, it's been an absolute pleasure to walk with you over these past 3 months, this summer, pastoring you in this internship. Each of you have blessed me and have incredibly encouraged me. To have gotten to know each of you has been an immense blessing. I truly believe that each one of you is incredibly gifted, and I can really see all of you as faithful shepherds of God's church in the future. So be encouraged. Remember the things that we've talked about, and forget the things that are wrong. Stefan, I've been so blessed by you, brother. I've been so blessed by your earnest love for God, your passion for the word, your passion for singing psalms and gospel-centered hymns. your surprisingly good sarcastic one-liners. They've brought me so much joy. I'm grateful for you, brother, and I look forward to seeing what the Lord will do in you as you finish your education in the years to come. Derek, it's been a joy. It's been a joy to see your growth and your maturity in recent months. In just 3 months, I've seen the Lord work in your life. You've grown in humility. You've continued to fight sin. Your gift in music, your gift in teaching and preaching are a blessing to our church, and I look forward to seeing the legacy of that in our church as you come on as a pastoral assistant. And I'm hopeful that your sarcasm continues to abound with all deep smirks. People don't know what that means. And Jake, brother, your faithfulness and endurance in the midst of trial has inspired me. It's strengthened me. The Lord is clearly breaking you and making you his. He's preparing you to be a minister of the gospel. He's preparing you to love other people, to love hurting people. Your godliness and steadfastness of hope and diligence are a great blessing to our church, and I'm excited to see you continue to grow as a pastoral assistant here, as a preacher, as a leader of your family, as a friend. I'm grateful for you and your deep smirks as well. So, brothers, I'm grateful that you've allowed me, the JV pastor, to lead you and like over the past 3 months, right? I'm saddened that Raymond's not here. But it has been a gift to me to be able to spend more time with you all. And I'm so grateful for this internship Raymond has crafted over the years and how I've seen the fruit born in your life. Dominic and Noah, I barely know you, but I'm excited to get to know you this year. I'm excited to see you grow in the knowledge of the word, grow in maturity, grow in your understanding of a healthy local church, and for you to be sent out to do God's will. Know that me and the pastors, we're here to serve you all, right? And that this church, we're here for you. You're not alone. You're gonna have highs and you're gonna have lows. Plan for that. But know that you're not by yourself and that we're gonna be walking with you through this time. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Let me pray for us. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this call that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, for inspiring Paul by the Spirit to encourage Timothy, this one younger brother, this son in the faith, and that through that encouragement, you have inspired and strengthened and encouraged millions of pastors for thousands of years through one letter. It shows the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray for each and every one of these outgoing and incoming interns that you would bless them richly. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. May they shepherd your flock, if you call them as pastors. May they shepherd your flock faithfully, not for themselves. Show them, Father, in early on, the character flaws in them that could lead to problems later on. Grant them a swift repentance, a quick repentance, an earnest desire to be pure in heart. Grant fruitfulness. Grant that these men would be the means by which many would turn from their sins and trust alone in the Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for fruit in their future ministries, and we thank you for their presence here. In Christ's name, amen.